Today's scripture reading comes from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, which can be found in your pew Bibles on page 120 in the New Testament. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together, and all had things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all, as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Hear what the Spirit is saying. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Mark, and thank you, choir. Will you pray with me? Eternal God, may these words and the meditations and musings on all of our hearts be acceptable to you as we seek to live out this faith, as we follow you in your love day by day. It's in your Holy Son's name that we pray. Amen. Have you ever been on the same page as another person? Like when you have the same thought or when you say the same thing at the same time. Jinx, pinch, poke, yell me a Coke. Or like when you do the same thing physically as another person. That's happened to all of us, right? When you're trying to get out of someone's way, but you can't help but mirror exactly what they're doing. A few weeks ago, I had the chance to ride my bicycle in what's called the Colin Classic. It's a bike rally that's held in Plano, and they have different miles, tracks that you can go, and I chose the 46-mile one for whatever reason. And it was amazing. The turnout was like a couple of thousands of people there. And they were riding all different kinds of bikes. It was just incredible to see. There was even two people riding a tandem bicycle. It's one of the most interesting things I've ever seen. I've seen people riding tandem bikes before, but never a road-specific one, especially one going upwards of like 20 miles per hour and passing people. And if I'm being honest, I may have been one of the people they passed, but I didn't train as hard for this rally. But the two people on the tandem bike, they had to ride at the exact same pace as each other. They also had to turn and position their bodies in the same manner, whether they were rounding a corner or stopping to brake. These two people were completely on the same page. We also find this phenomenon of being on the same page at the beginning of the Christian church. We heard this as Mark read from our scripture this morning. And right before our scripture is the Pentecost story. And talk about people being on the same page. This is when the apostles and all people from all corners of the world came together and experienced the same movement of the Holy Spirit sweeping through them. And they were able to understand the same words as one another, even though they spoke different languages. After Pentecost, the next thing that happens, and this brings us to our scripture this morning, is the formation of groups of people starting to meet together and apply the lessons that Christ had taught. These groups went to worship frequently, broke bread and having fellowship in each other's homes, and pooled together all of their resources to then turn around and give it to those in need. Now, what was the core dynamic of these first Christians? It's that they had all things in common as they were driven by their faith in Christ. They were of the same accord, had the same mind, desired to love and serve God by working on the same page with one another. They were totally living out that 70s Godspell song of doing it day by day. You know the one. Day by day, day by day. Oh dear Lord, three things I pray. To love thee more dearly, see thee more clearly, follow thee more nearly, day by day. You get it. That's the most I've ever sang in front of someone. I know it was really bad. Yeah. I'm just showing y'all how much I love you. But this church began as something that was a daily lived reality. It began with small groups of people agreeing on the same pattern of life together, patterns of devotion and worship, and patterns of justice and compassion. For the founder of the Methodist movement, John Wesley, these first small groups of Christians in Acts represented what was lacking at his time in the Church of England. In the middle of the 18th century, the Church of England, during Wesley's time, struggled to take into consideration and care for the needs of thousands of people who were suffering from economic and social unrest. And the church didn't offer much in terms of support, outreach, or seeking to include those who were suffering the most. This is the climate that Wesley finds himself in as the Methodist movement begins in the late 1730s. And Wesley himself longed for more spiritual sustenance. He longed for a day-by-day religion of the heart, not just going to weekly services that focused on the mind. And Wesley desired to experience this kind of faith with others who were also longing for spiritual renewal. It's at this point, in 1739, that Wesley decides to do something bold. He decides to step outside of his comfort zone and outside of the local church to preach in the open air, what's called field preaching. And at this point in the Church of England's history, field preaching was scandalous. Like, if you were preaching out in the open fields, they would deem that as heresy. But Wesley pursued this kind of preaching because he knew that in order to reach people and in order to share in a day-by-day kind of faith, he needed to step outside of the confines of the local church. And when he starts preaching out in these fields, sometimes to groups of thousands of people, what Wesley finds are others who also are longing for a day-by-day faith of the heart, mind, and soul. Living a day-by-day faith calls us to step outside of our comfort zones and into something new. Wesley preaching in the open air to others is a good example of this. The reality is that when Wesley actually started preaching out in the open air, it contradicted what he believed beforehand. He was really right on line with the Church of England, thinking that this was heresy. But after being invited to the city of Bristol by his then friend George Whitfield, Wesley had a change of heart. This is what he writes in his journal on March 31st in 1739. He says, "In the evening I reached Bristol and met Mr. Whitfield there. I could scarce reconcile myself at first to this strange way of preaching in the fields, of which he showed me how to do on Sunday. Having been all my life, till very recently, so tenacious of every point relating to decency and order, that I should have thought the saving of souls almost a sin if it had not been done in a church." What's really interesting and kind of comical is what he writes 2 days later. "At 4 p.m, I submitted to be more vile and started preaching out in the open air. I proclaim in the highways the glad tidings of salvation, speaking from a little eminence in the ground adjoining the city to about 3,000 people." It's amazing to think that this church, all of its history, all of the ways that it has impacted the local community, the many stories that have made up people's lives as they've come and been a part of it, that all of that may not have existed if people didn't step outside of their comfort zones to pursue where God was leading them. The same invitation is offered to us day by day as we find ways to step outside of our comfort zones to see where God is leading us. As Wesley began preaching more and more throughout England, going to different cities and towns, and just kind of getting the message out there, people started coming up to him after he preached and asked if he would pray with them and if he could help them live out their salvation. And these people too, like Wesley, were stepping outside of their comfort zones, wanting to receive something more meaningful, a deeper sense of faith at work in their lives. This is how the Methodist movement began. It was a group of people coming together, much like the community in Acts, and watching one over one another in love. More and more people approached Wesley and asked him the same thing. How could they practically live out their salvation? And as a response, Wesley began to form small groups of people that would meet in each other's homes on a weekly basis. And these small groups marked the formation of the first-class meetings, which were essentially what we would call covenant groups today. These class meetings offered a day-by-day faith for people in ways that the established church could not. And yet, Wesley and those involved in these groups still sought to be a part of the Church of England, because the intention was to not separate from the issues that plagued the church, but to hopefully be a source of helping reform it. It's from these small groups that we receive our general rules, which I'm sure we all know, right? Okay, that's good. Judith was preaching about these last week, and in Wesley's time, if you didn't know the general rules and you were going to a class meeting, you had to get like your ticket punched. They actually had like literal tickets. And if you didn't know it, well, let's just say you would be dismissed from class, pun intended. So that's what we'll do today. We'll line everyone up, and I'm kidding. Some things have changed for the better. But it's from these groups that we receive our general rules of doing no harm, of doing good, and of staying in love with God through the means of grace. And these class meetings were not just led by clergy, and that's important to note. Mostly it was other different women and men who led the classes. These leaders were people who showed an interest and a capacity for leading. All were welcomed and had a voice. In terms of what these class meetings did, there was three components. First, it held people accountable to keeping the general rules. Second, it was an outlet where Methodists were encouraged to weekly tithe for helping the poor. And third and most importantly, it was a place where every Methodist would have to answer the question, how is it with your soul? This was a completely different kind of religious small group. As Wesleyan scholar Kevin Watson says, the class meeting was a very different kind of small group than what we know as a typical Sunday school class. Rather than being focused on transferring information about Christianity, the early Methodist class meeting was focused on helping people come to know Jesus Christ and learn how to give every part of their lives to loving and serving Christ. Years later, when Wesley was retelling about the origins of the Methodist movement and the class meeting to a friend, he says this, "Upon reflection, I could not help but observe that it was this, the class meeting, is like the very thing that was from the beginning of Christianity." For Wesley, the class meetings were a reflective mirror of the kind of day-by-day faith that the early church in Acts was living out. This was a daily, all-encompassing reality that touched every facet of people's lives as they grew in faith together and with Christ. Friends, we too are called to live out a day-by-day faith. The invitation before each of us is to consider how living out a day-by-day faith in which we step outside of our comfort zone look like. For some, that may mean starting a weekly prayer practice with a friend or some family members. Or for others, maybe stepping outside of our spiritual comfort zones means going to talk to someone we can trust and confide in to answer that question, how is it with your soul? And maybe you've experienced the dynamic of these kind of groups before. I know Judith talked last week about Steve Hines reflecting on how the Stevens Ministers was a kind of covenant group. Janet Hamilton Peterson was telling us last week at the Admin Council how the young adult group that is hosted at Tabitha and Harrison's apartment that meets weekly is kind of a covenant group. So we understand the importance of how these groups and when we are able to come together and bear our souls with one another are. And one way we as a church are seeking to live out a day-by-day faith, in addition to our existing patterns of programming and worship, is to consider creating and attending our own covenant groups in the months to come. And this is why we are studying this book by Kevin Watson on the class meetings. Now, this study and starting covenant groups are not the only avenues for us to live out and explore a day-by-day faith. We each here have so much to offer in terms of leadership, care, and spiritual renewal as we grow in faith. I hope that each of you know that in my time here, I've been able to witness how each of you has a capacity to offer transformational faith to yourself and to others in this community and outside of it. And that has been a great blessing. But we are encouraged to share that kind of transformation together, being led by the Holy Spirit, who makes it possible for us to be on the same spiritual page. The invitation to live out a day-by-day faith is before us. What will our response be? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, Amen.